He was doing the Revolutionary War when the British fleet went up to take the city of Baltimore, that they stopped by the island of Tangier, where the Reverend Joshua Thomas, which was called a portion of the island, could hold a revival. And Parson Thomas told the English sailors that they would not be able to take Baltimore, which they did not. There were three brothers on this ship, sailors in this navy. One was named George, and Charles, and John Birch. And these three brothers, after the battle was over, they were defeated and taken to the city of Baltimore, that these men deserted the ships, and they went ashore and settled down below Ocean City on a place called North Beach. One of the brothers went west, and they never heard tell of him no more. But the other two brothers stayed, and they married, and the Rodney families, and the Smallwoods, and raised their families. And my grandfather was the son of one of these brothers, John Birch. He lived to North Beach and raised his family. He had five boys and four girls. And there was an inlet to a Green Run, a place about halfway between Chincoteague Island and Ocean City, where the boats used to come in and load with natural growth oysters. And that was the business they had in those days to make a living. Well, my grandfather worked around North Beach until his family was all grown. And then a ship came into the inlet to Green Run and sanded up, and the inlet closed. So then the water began to get fresh in the bay. There was no more inlets, only from Chincoteague. And so they, clams and oysters began to die because the water was too fresh. I heard my grandfather say once that one of his neighbors went out of clamming in a boat that carried about 50 bushels. And he came in with the boat loaded. And he said to my grandfather, he said, "John Ed," he said, "there's all kinds of clams laying right out on the bottom." He said, "All you got to do is pick them up." My grandfather said, "Yeah," he says, "and a few more months," he said, "and they'll all be dead because the water is getting fresh." And that's what happened. The water got fresh and there wasn't more clams or oysters growing, so the people had to leave these little towns. My grandfather moved to a place called Ragged Point, down on the beach, just about 4 or 5 miles above Chincoteague Island. And there he settled with his family. In those days, this beach land was pasture land for cattle. And my grandfather was paid so much a month for looking out after the stock that the stock raisers put on the beach at that time. And during the time that they lived there, my grandfather and his family, they never heard anything that was out of the ordinary. Although I heard my mother say once that my grandfather found three drowned sailors after a northeast storm, and he buried them in a little place to the southeast of where they lived, called Little Neck Hills, some hills right next to the ocean. So they didn't see anything or hear anything until one night she said that the children were playing dominoes. That was what they had for entertainment when they while away the long hours. And one of them went out in the porch to get a drink of water. They generally had their bench on the porch, a bucket on the bench where it held the drinking water. And most of the time they drank out of one of these old gourds and made drinking cups out of them after they were seasoned and hard. And one of the children went out to get a drink of water. And he looked down toward the level, which was a sandy part of the beach between Assateague and this Ragged Point land. And they saw a light. And she said, "Every one of the children will go out and look at this light. But my Uncle George, and he never would go out and look at the light." And a little while later, he was killed right about where the light was sighted. In those days, the wind blowing the southern, the cattle would have a tendency to go down to Assateague, where it was more cooler and there's plenty of pasture for them. So they, my grandfather's old oxen and an iron colt, they wandered off down to Assateague. Well, then my father, whose name was John Jester, he married my mother, grandfather, Andasia, a name that I have never heard before nor since. And they were married at this time, so my father and my Uncle George Birch and my Uncle Charlie and a man by the name of E. Blitz, they went down to Assateague to get this oxen and the mine colt. And when they went down and they got them and they're on their way back, my father said it was so hot he had on leather boots. He took the boots off and tied them together and put them across the horse's neck just in front of the saddle. Uncle George was riding the horse and the mare colt was the ox was with him, and he was on a line about 100 feet ahead of the mare colt, and Uncle George was riding the mare. And Uncle Charlie and this the other fellow, Mr. Eve Lynch, and my father was walking along. My father said it was so dry that you could break your foot on the sand and it would make a crunching sound. And he looked out in the ocean, they were coming along up next to the ocean, and he saw a sailboat, and he said to Uncle George, he said, that sailboat out there hasn't got much wind. But Uncle George never answered. He said, then they looked up to the northeast and seen this squall coming, this thunder squall. And when the thunder squall came over them, the lightning was so sharp, and the clap of thunder so loud, that he happened to look when it made a louder noise than any other time, and he saw Uncle George fall from the horse. So he hollered to Uncle Charlie, and he said, Charles, he said, George is hit with lightning. They went there to him, and he was dead. The lightning killed the horse and killed him and knocked the colt down on its knees, but it never bothered anything else. And my father said in about 5 or 10 minutes' time, the water was ankle deep right on the dry levels where Uncle George was killed. He said, then they had to go to the house, he said, and get their cart and hook the old ox up to it, and then they went and got the body of my Uncle George and carried him home. And people tell me later, I've heard people talk, they could hear his mother as she mourned as far as 2 miles away. But this was a very sad time at that time. And then afterward, my grandfather moved to Chincoteague, him and his family. And my Uncle Jim Jester moved up into the Ragged Point house, a brother to my father and his wife and children. And then is when they began to hear this, like a man holler, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. And the people could not understand what it was. Many people heard it. And one time, as told, my Uncle Jim began to mock this noise. Every time it would holler, he would holler. Well, them ducks, they had tame ducks in those days, and these ducks were laying out under a tree in the yard with their heads under the wing. And my Uncle Jim answered this call until it got so close the ducks raised their heads up and looked around as though they were disturbed. And my Aunt Beth took Uncle Jim by the arm and pulled him inside the house. And from then on, people began to hear every once in a while this man, or whatever it was, calling. So one night, it was afterwards when Uncle Jim, he moved away from Ragged Point. He too moved to Chincoteague. And there were some men went and stayed into this old house. There was great orchard ground up there in those days. People planted orchards all around Ragged Point Bay, Ragged Point Channel, a place called Sheep Ridge. And they were staying in this house, four or five men, and working on these orchards in the daytime. So one night they were sitting to the table eating their supper after they'd done their day's work, and they heard this man call, "Wee!" So listened there in the wall, they passed it on. And so later Uncle Jim came up. He'd been down to Chincoteague in his sailboat, and he had stopped to a place called Charity Hill Bay and had walked up to the house. So these fellows said to him, "Said Jim, did you call a while ago? We heard somebody holler." And Uncle Jim said, "No." He said, "It wasn't me call." He said, "But tomorrow morning," he said, "the wind will be down to the north, a blowing and a snowing." And he said it came true. The very next day, the wind was down to the north, blowing and snowing. So after that, many people began to hear this call or whatever it was. Some said it was was some kind of animal. All the people who were superstitious said it might have been some spirits of some kind. But nobody never did know for certain. I've heard my wife's uncle say, Burwell Jones, he was up there on a duck shooting trip to a place called Buzzertump, which was right off of this Ragged Point. And he said over in this Ragged Point there was an old field, they called it. It was a low place of land between the ledges of hills. The ledges of hills next to the ocean, and then another ledge next to the bay. Well, in the center of this, there was a field about 2 miles long and maybe a quarter of a mile wide. Our people, in the night, people would go and get in these ponds in this marsh where, and wait for the ducks to come in so they could shoot them. And he said him and two or three more fellows went over, and each one went to a pond to shoot ducks. And he said he was sitting by the pond waiting and no ducks coming in. And here come the splash, splash, splash of the feet of a man walking up the marsh. And he thought it was one of his comrades coming to him to go back to the houseboat in which they were staying. So he said, hey, are you ready to go? And they weren't getting good any answer. So then he picked up his decoys and he began to follow this noise. And he followed it and it went through, there was cow path in those days, they went through the bushes and places. And so he followed this noise of going ahead of him like a person walking down this cow path until he came out to the westward where Chincoteague Bay was. And he said when he came out to this bay and this noise disappeared, he said no person in the world could tell him how he felt. So he said he was about 2 miles away from where they had landed in the boat when they came over to shoot these ducks. And many times later we heard people speak about hearing the call of the Ragged Point man. But later years it got so it disappeared. We never did hear it no more. And we never did find out or know just what caused this person to holler, "Ooh!" like a man lost during some storm. After Uncle George Birch was killed, my father was afraid of thunder squalls, afraid of the lightning. And he was working one time at the Sheep Ridge after that, and this squall started to come up, and he hurried, and he went to the shore, and he stuck a pole down in the land to tie his boat to, and went into a little house they had close by. The storm came up, and lightning struck the pole that he stuck in the ground. And later one time, when he was moved down to Chincoteague, and was sailing down home in his sailboat, because they worked up there, they sailed backwards and forwards every day. And this squall came up just before he got home. He hurried and got his boat put away and went to the house, and lightning struck his boat's mast in this squall. And later they had another squall that struck the corner of the house where he lived and knocked the picture of Uncle George Birch, the one that had been killed with lightning, off the wall. So my father after that was very much afraid of lightning from a thunder squall. And when one would come up in the summertime when we were home, he would never let any of us sit between two windows. He would make us get back in the corner somewhere or away from the chimney, because he was deathly afraid of thunder squalls. These people are all gone now, and my generation is the last generation that knows anything about the legends that happened in the past. And as we sit down and think about these things, we wonder many times about the things that we cannot give account for that comes along during the span of people's lives. Sometimes we're very superstitious about these things, and sometimes we might be able, if we were to look into it real close, to find a cause of what happened, as it could have been in the legend of the Ragged Point Man. My father said, after Uncle George Birch was killed, they never did find his watch. And the leather boots he hung across the horse's neck above the saddle, just melted all the metal there was away. And I've heard Mr. John Ed Mertz say that when Uncle George was burning down on Chincoteague, that he was the one who sighted the body. And he said that he had one bruise place on his temple and one bruise place on each leg where the lightning struck his head and went down and came out on each side of his body. So we always think about these things because he was out in a sanded place and he was the highest object there was for lightning to make connection with the land. And he happened to be at that place at that time.
Dylan Goddess, I thought you might like to hear a little bit of the restaurant tape, a little bit of the tape that I made with you at your house. So I'm adding them right on here.
Right there, you know, John Murray Gaston was our great-great-grandfather. He's my great-great-great-grandfather. He was a facilitator. Now, he's a revolutionary war. He's a revolutionary war. John Murray Gaston. That's as far back as we can trace him.
John Murray was Kendall's...
Oh, just his father.
Father, and we've got him in the census.
He was in the revolutionary war.
Yes, right. He's in the first census.
They gave him 265 acres of land on the northeast end of Chincoteague for his service that he got into
Revolution.
And then Uncle Key and his son came along and he got 500 acres and they 665 acres.
I found him in the census, I'm sure. This is John M. Jester.
Yeah, John.
And that's what I got to be sure that I write down the names of both of your grandfathers, your mother's father and your father's father, and your mother's father and your father's father. So I can find him in the census because you ought to, you know, you really ought to have this record for your children. It's most interesting. They tell you.
Yeah, I said the road on each side of it.
And it was a long
time. In relation to what they call the Kipling House, okay? You remember that was in a little 2-3 feet right
in. Yeah.
That was on the other reeds that weren't there.
Yeah. And that's the old Wildcat House on Chipley, on this end there. I think it's looking to the northeast, like you're talking about here in the first one there. And a car place on this end.
Was it like this? Was it one window and one door on front and a great big outside?
It was windy here, more so than it was on that side. And the door seemed like it was just plain more. The house had a particular. It was a big one.
In other words, there were two windows.
Yeah, there were two windows.
The front.
There was an old fireplace here, and later, when my sister lived there, and I used to sell land with them, they closed the old fireplace shut so they could put the stove in. They cooked
yeah.
the stove later.
Yeah.
And some of the old stones and things are still there. The old fireplace
is still there.
Yeah, Griff is there. Some of the old stones and bricks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How far is that above his chicken house?
Quite a little ways there.
It is.
Yeah.
Rick Willis.
Yeah. He had a pair of bricks on property, controlling very property. I got to think on the old Wildcat, at the lower end of Wildcat, land. You put down East Cut?
That's where John Archer's place.
Well, you come around here, I'll come down east side town. To the point where you could get right on into East Cut. Now, that's one way to way, but he's still a little crooked. And East Cut from clean down to the lower end of the property.
It goes so far up in there.
Yeah.
It's up in the creek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is. Well, it was right in there?
That was the lower end of the property. That East Cut, they had a fence. Where did East Cut come in?
Thank you very much.
They had a fence from there. They know it was 6 feet bay. And then this fence, they had this big gate. And the road went from the big gate up to the house. It split on both sides of the house. And,
And where was Chicken's house
and see what we can drive up.
See, truth, I remember something about it, but I'm not too certain. You'd rate that 5 point on it.
Who is they going?
They're
on the west side, they call it Cowgut, and East Gut.
East Gut was doing above it.
Up in the east side, went on the west side, and you take a big tag that went in a little way, it's called Cowgut. That was the landing of the Cowcat House to the west. It was at that landing down there. Fish company, they had this Rogers moved into the kitchen. Took the kitchen out, made a home out of it, and lived in it.
That was a fish cap,
right? Yeah.
Brownie Sturgis one.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Walt Park
Zoo? No, what Walt?
One of them brothers bought a wife and paid $200 for it.
I think it was.
Yeah. In other words, that sounds like it. You know, Walt Bragg, you know, helped to up the birch, up the beach birch, you know.
I seen a fellow over the flat yesterday clapping, and I went over there to him. I wonder who that fellow is. He walked. His hair was down on his shoulders. And he had some of his piece cut chewing tobacco, and he was wadding
it. He looked just like Alan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago.
He's one of the best fellows in the world. I'd like to see, but I don't like him. That's dope.
You know what he presented me all there? You know. He told me he knew of 7 Japanese, and he had great children more, I imagine. And he come down here killing some more.
Right here, you know. The second he was on Okinawa, he was wounded. Was coming through there and just going in here, and he said his lips until a blood run dropped off of his skin before he was tried to paint.
Well, that sounds good, like that. He's funky.
Yeah, he's funky. And yeah, he's it's like when Buffalo was that time over the beach, when Buffalo run that hard in his hand. He shot that rifle bullet over his head while he was right back in Okinawa fighting. He turned around and shot Buffalo right face on.
You know, that was in the Underground magazine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was streamed one of the others. And showed Buffalo, they sent in the article, they take 63 shot out of Buffalo. Showing Pepper Burr. Oh, that's his rapper, he had nothing.
Yeah.
He made it.
Who were I lost about Walt Clark? Who's Walt Clark? I have to know who he is after all this interesting stuff.
Well, he's we don't see him with that again, but he's right there in the same family like that. John Edward Burch started him for his eye. Bill knows for the back then.
These acetate people?
They were from the islands in Denver.
They, well, they really have come to look around on these John Edward Burches on his mother's side. So I got the Clarks come from Jersey.
She said, is it really, is it don't really represent their own point. So, in any event. Well, you know, Gladys, what I wanted to say to you about, I said that Tara Pruitt has been wrong about this. She copied things down all her life. She was working all the time. And, you know, we all correct things. I go back and I correct things for 6 weeks before I'm working on a tape for everything. And some of this, you know, when you die, they just hand over everything that you've done. And some of it might be just what you intended to change the next day. But, we don't know. The only thing that we know is that there are mistakes in some places either, you know. And so we want to try to be awfully careful about this kind of thing and make sure that it's right. So we don't want to put it in the book and say, this was Daniel Jester's old wildcat house when it wasn't right. There are plenty of things to put in the book that we know we can be right about.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for putting in anything wrong about, oh, this is just fine. Yes, would you like some dessert? I hope Matt's going to serve you. Sure, Addie, I'll have some dessert. I don't think we've heard you. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what we have now. We've got a
trying to figure out where that had been. So it looked, it didn't even look like an island to me. You know, it looked more like a peninsula to me.
You can explain that stuff more when you're going along and get to it. Then you can see it and you know.
Yeah, right. All right. I'll take that old fashioned and explain that to that's what he's talking about. Yeah, Addie, I think that's what he's talking about. Sarah Lewis.
Yeah, that was in the paper. I've got that.
I've
got the original picture of your house.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, Gladys, I would just love to see that. My sister took the time to retire from and had no one know that. Good. He just sent it back to me. Yeah. And it was my great-grandmother's home. Was it?
Where are you from?
Yeah, I was with Dan Lewis. She got mad at him.
Chris
Weber. Yeah, the night he died as a child. I don't know who they all been, because in all of my life before he did. So.
Yes, right.
All my aunts and uncles that would know who that was are gone.
So you were
so I don't know.
So you were from a Lewis line.
Maybe so forth. But it was any of my other dreams. I don't know.
the conch shells. And Rick Ryder there.